Welcome to the October 2015 installment of Industrial Heating Magazine's Vacuum Heat Treat Minute with Bill Jones, CEO of the Solar Atmospheres family of companies, and host Jim Nagy, president of Solar Manufacturing. Solar Manufacturing is the innovative leader in advanced vacuum heat treat furnaces. This month's Vacuum Heat Treat Minute podcast is how to prevent distortion and cracking of tool steels and other ferritic alloys when cooling parts in a gas-quenching vacuum furnace. Here's our host, Jim Nagy, to introduce the topic of today's podcast.
This podcast is about the prevention of distortion and cracking while processing parts, especially tool steels, in a vacuum furnace. Distortion and cracking is a common problem for commercial heat treaters operating vacuum furnaces, who often process workloads of mixed parts, varying in cross-sections, lengths, shapes, and even cavities. It's also a problem for captive heat treaters, who from time to time are faced with the same predicament. Today we welcome Ed Engelhardt as a first-time guest of our podcast. Ed is the Corporate Quality Manager of Solar Atmospheres, overseeing all aspects of the rigorous quality initiative at every Solar Atmospheres heat treat facility. Ed possesses almost 30 years of experience as a heat treater, literally growing up in a family-owned commercial heat treat operation in Western New York before joining Solar. He is very familiar with the problem of distortion and cracking of parts during gas quenching and offers knowledgeable insight on the advantages of the radial hot zone and perceptive advice on how to position parts to avoid the problem. So let's listen in on the exchange between Bill and Ed as they discuss this important topic.
Well, welcome, Ed, to our forum. And Ed Engelhardt has a long experience in heat treatment of various metals in all sorts of different furnaces. Today, though, I want to talk with Ed and get his opinions on heat treating tool steels and other kinds of steels in a round vacuum furnace that has radial gas cooling nozzles, because this is the experience primarily that we have here within our company. So Ed, tell me, what's your recommendation with respect to positioning parts in such a furnace?
Intuitively, you would want to set up parts parallel, particularly long parts, parallel to the longitudinal axis of your round hot zone, and avoid setups where parts lay transverse in the hot zone, thereby allowing the radially oriented nozzles to come to effect uniformly across the length of the part, and that should go a long ways towards reducing distortion.
Positioning of these parts is extremely important, and you mentioned long parts. What would you think about where you have parts that are heavy cross sections? Do you feel the same way about that, or would you put them at right angles or some other way to maybe minimize this distortion problem?
Well, many heat treat shops are faced with mixed loads where parts are different cross sections, lengths, thicknesses, sizes, or complex geometry, all of which may be processed together. In general, the best practice is to make sure the heaviest pieces are oriented to the outside of the load, where they do need the faster cooling rates to achieve optimum performance, and smaller pieces are inside the load. Also, you want to distribute the load as uniformly as you can along the longitudinal axis of the round hot zone. And that should provide as good a result as you can get with mixed geometry products.
The other question I want to put to you, Ed, is what do we do about parts that have complex geometries? And the first part of this question has to do with parts that have cavities or big holes, because we know that cracking can propagate from those areas. What's your recommendation about that?
Well, complicated parts that in particular that have large cavities or differential cross sections immediately adjacent to one another are always candidates for distortion and even cracking. Cavities can be addressed by filling them with, say, a ceramic blanket material so that some mass is replaced and the speed of quench doesn't become a big differential across varying cross sections.
Ed, often we receive parts where the customer has obviously pre-machined them and just shipped them in to be heat treated. and have not, they've not necessarily given the kind of thought that we would like to have with respect to sharp corners and with holes and so on and so forth. What sort of advice would you give to a customer who was starting out with a die or some product that he should consult with the heat treater?
Well, presuming that he buys good quality material that's been properly treated at the mill before he puts it to work or puts a tool to it, thought should be given in the manufacturing sequence as to the possibility of a stress relief operation at an intermediate level, or maybe even a couple if it's a complicated enough part, and to look out for features like sharp reentrant corners or edges and corners of sharp radii that could act as crack propagation or distortion sites when the heat treater receives the work. And allowances might want to be maybe made for the purposes of giving the heat treater enough time and effort to stress relieve the part either prior to heat treatment or do multiple preheats in the hardening operation. These usually result in a much better output product for the customer at the end of the day for a very modest cost.
What is your opinion, the use of the vacuum furnace versus, say, an atmosphere furnace, as to the potential cracking or distortion within the furnace? Do you feel that the vacuum furnace is more forgiving, or do you feel that other forms of, say, recirculating heat treating atmosphere furnace, or maybe even a salt bath furnace, gives better results?
Well, each type of furnace is usually uniquely situated for a particular circumstance. I think vacuum furnaces are by far and away the most versatile in that regard. Given the state of the art for pressure quenching, there's a lot of opportunity to remove the potential for damage to product by getting out of a liquid quench and going to a high pressure gas. And vacuum furnaces are usually very robustly built with a lot of the availability of graphite fixturing that sometimes cannot be accommodated in an atmosphere furnace. And by virtue of graphite strength to weight ratio in a heat treat operation, very large products can be processed with quite minimal distortion when set up properly.
You mentioned graphite fixturing, and Ed, that's going to be a subject of one of our other upcoming podcasts. Let me ask you one other thing with respect to this subject of distortion and cracking. Now, you know our recommended practice is to use thermocouples on the workload and to use programmed heating rates and so on. Could you elaborate maybe a little bit more on that?
Workload couples are an excellent way to know exactly what's happening in the furnace. And if you distribute them throughout a load that has multiple cross sections, you'll have an excellent idea of where you stand as regard temperature uniformity. Controlled heating rates are critical. Much distortion and cracking comes from the relief of stress produced in prior machining. So having controlled heating rates and stepped ramps will go a long way towards reducing or preventing distortion and minimizing the opportunities for cracking.
Ed, there's an old adage in the heat treating industry with respect to heating cross sections of parts, which was 1 inch per hour of thickness. Would you comment on that versus our techniques today of using thermocouples?
An hour per inch is a very old standard that was common when the only furnace control item was a furnace control thermocouple at the heating elements for a furnace. And it was just a safe way to give a simple rule of thumb to the furnace operators to what he should expect to do. These days, with good quality thermocouple materials available to be put in direct contact with product, it's really not that hard to look at all the cross sections in a given load and come up with the minimum time required for full solutioning prior to a quench operation, and thereby reduce risk to the product and improve productivity and output of the furnace.
Ed, the vacuum furnace heating rates can be varied with the programmer over a wide range. A heat treatment of some tool steels, an operator may elect to simply heat at a slower rate up to the high heat temperature or the austenitizing temperature, and avoid the intermediate holds that usually the steel suppliers recommend. What's your opinion of that?
Holds can serve a useful purpose if you are concerned about a complex enough shape where there's differential cross sections that need to be allowed to catch up with one another before particularly passing through the transformation temperature range on the way up. Otherwise, really many products can be heated directly to the hardening temperature with a modest ramp rate without any harm at all.
In my early days, I noticed that on cooling a part, particularly the ferritic or the iron-based parts like the tool steels and so forth, that in cooling you often will see, with thermocouples attached to the part, a residual temperature retaining about halfway down, depending on the alloy. What do you think is the cause of that?
Well, that's actually the measurable exothermic reaction of the transformation occurring in the steel product itself. If you need evidence of phase change, you have it right there in front of you in black and white.
Right. Thank you very much, Ed. I appreciate the answers to my questions.
This concludes our discussion about the prevention of distortion and cracking. We trust you have found this podcast informative and practical. Please join us again for our next helpful podcast.
These podcasts are underwritten by Solar Manufacturing, the innovative leader in advanced vacuum heat treat furnaces. You can find us on the web at solarmfg.com. Our websites contain information for download about vacuum furnaces and vacuum heat treat processing, which will be very helpful to our listeners. There are several technical papers and articles related to high-pressure gas quenching and the prevention of distortion and cracking of parts. So we encourage our listeners to search the Resources tab on our website for technical resources available through Solar Atmospheres and Solar Manufacturing. Thank you for listening, and look for our next podcast in December 2015.